eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, well, well. Heath Pierce and Jimmy Conrad are back, which means CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers continues. We are heading into match day five. So much has happened, but I will say, if you haven't been paying attention, the U.S. are currently, and I say currently because we don't know which U.S. we're going to get from here on out, top of the standings, tied on or ahead on goal difference. And Jimmy and I are going to break down our thoughts heading into the U.S. versus Panama. Panama versus U.S. Actually, Panama is playing at home. Que Golazo Pod begins right now. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. This show is really nothing without you guys. So do us a favor and subscribe to the Que Golazo Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review. It takes no time at all. Helps us get found, helps us work the algorithm so that more people can enjoy being part of this community. And one last thing before you get into it, before we get into this preview, make sure you subscribe to the Que Golazo Podcast. It costs you nothing. It earns you karma points in your life, something like that. It makes Jimmy, you know, Jimmy might eventually send you. There's not a lot of people, by the way, that Jimmy hasn't sent free stuff to at some point. So if you just stick around long enough, he'll hook you up with something. But Jimmy, how are you, man?
I'm way up here in the clouds, Heath. I'm looking down now because we're on top of the table. We're looking down at everybody. It's so nice to be at the air up here smells so nice and so sweet up here in the clouds. But that's what I worry about as well, is that we might start buying into our own hype. Not that I really worry about that, because I saw a quote from Greg Berhalter after the game against Jamaica going, I don't want us to think, or if we start thinking, that by us playing very well against Jamaica, that we've already qualified for the World Cup, we're going to get our asses kicked when we go down to Panama. So there is a moment, and I'm sure he wants this for his team too. You got to enjoy the process. You have to derive satisfaction from that type of performance. But can we do even better the next time out? Can we manage the next obstacle that's in our way? And I think that's going to be the next challenge for this group. But I will say, I feel like we've got some nice mature heads for a lot of younger players. And I'm excited. This team, every time I watch them play, there's little things that I really, really enjoy about their performances and individuals that have stepped up when you didn't maybe think they were going to. So it's great. It's a great time to be a U.S. fan. I don't even know. Greg Berhalter in. I don't know who this Berhalter out people are. Greg Berhalter in all the way.
Hey, Jimmy, we're going to get into all of the upcoming matches. But before that, because of when we did our recap of the U.S. game, all the matches hadn't completed. So we're going to go through a little bit of what happened before we go into what's maybe going to happen moving forward. But just a reminder to everybody, all of these matches coming up on Sunday will be live on Paramount Plus. So make sure you turn in for that. We'll give you the kickoff time when we get into those matches themselves. But here's a look at the live standings. U.S. on top with 8 points. For those of you who are just listening to this in audio form, Mexico on 8 points, Canada on 6, Panama on 5, El Salvador on 5. And then as we get down to Costa Rica, Honduras, and Jamaica, 3 points between Costa Rica and Honduras. And Jamaica, the only team still sitting on a single point, which, Jimmy, you know, looking at these standings right now, are you comfortable?
Oh, no, I'm never comfortable in World Cup qualifying, especially after the effects of not qualifying for the World Cup in 2018 and still, you know, a little nervy, but I like where we are. I'm excited that we, despite kind of not playing great for the first 2.5 games in the opening window, find ourselves on top after 4 games. I think it really speaks to this quality that we showed over the whole summer as well, that we can still get results even if we don't play well. So I want that to continue, and that seems to be happening. I will say, speaking of the Gold Cup in particular, there were two teams that really stood out during that tournament and kind of showed signs of what they might be capable of this time around. and it's Canada and it's El Salvador. I thought El Salvador was excellent this past game against Panama at home. They really dictated the terms. They were all over Panama. Panama didn't get one shot on goal. Now, El Salvador haven't given up a goal yet at home. They had 2-0-0 draws and then just beat Panama 1-0. So they know how to get it done there. It's away from home that I worry about with them a little bit. And I will say, as a caveat to El Salvador, just to talk about them briefly, they lost their game against Canada on that last match day when they looked tired. They just don't have the depth. So I always feel like we're going to get a good performance in the opening game of a window for El Salvador. But then as it goes on, I could see them starting to fall apart a little bit. So if they can just manage that, else who knows? I was really, really impressed with their performance. Rivas, their goalkeeper, Martinez, was excellent. And I like Hugo Perez and what he's doing there with that squad. Very, very impressive performance. Panama, for me, actually pretty disappointing. I was expecting a lot more in this one. They just needed a draw. But it's going to be a tough test for us regardless. It's not easy to get a result anytime you're on the road. And we've talked about it ad nauseum in CONCACAF. So it should be a good game. But obviously super impressed with El Salvador. And obviously to segue now to the other team I was going to mention, Canada, who got a tremendous 1-1 result in Mexico City at Estadio Azteca in front of fans. So that's not easy to do.
Yeah, I wanted to say, and just for everybody, just so you have the scores, Mexico drew Canada 1-1. They were at home, as Jimmy just mentioned. Panama lost to El Salvador 1-0. Honduras, Costa Rica drew 0-0 as well. But Jimmy, I can't remember the last time that I saw a team, and you know, the U.S. has been focusing on this verticality, right? This idea of verticality. But everyone seems to be focusing on that. If you look at the last round of games, El Salvador picking off balls in difficult spots against this Panamanian side, you know, winning the ball in higher areas, lumping the ball forward to win second balls and get into good spots. Canada, same thing, just willing to say, you know what, we're going to spring out with four or five players against you every time we're in the attack. If you looked at Canada, almost every time they attacked with any sort of enthusiasm, you'd find five players around the box. And now you've got Alphonso Davies coming after you, and he draws players in and out of spaces. And it just looks like they figured out something that works. Obviously, Mexico very good, but I can't remember a team that went to the Aztec and looked that comfortable. And again, we're not talking about the atmosphere or the attendance of like just the noise didn't seem to be as crazy as I expected it. But nonetheless, playing even at an empty Aztec, it's such a hallowed ground. You would expect Mexico to have a huge sort of favor in that game. But to see Canada do it, I think that gives hopes to the U.S., but it also makes me fear as we look at those standings. Again, Des, if we can bring that up just one more time, just how difficult it's going to be now that El Salvador got the points that they needed. Costa Rica, by the way, have only given up two goals as well so far in this tournament that, you know, when you look from...
They've only scored one, though.
I'll give you that. But like also being fundamentally good in the back can get you points later on. And we're talking about 14 matches that you get to play. We're four games in. There's plenty of points still out there. And if you're looking at the top five points, 3 points separating first to fifth, I believe in the U.S., but we can see that being at the helm at the moment, one loss and a few things to go the other way, and now you find yourself in fourth place, and then you can find yourself in fifth place. And so I think, you know, the goal is to be able to start separating those packs and not get caught up into that sort of middle leg, kind of how they do in some of those road races where once you get caught in the middle pack, or F1, for example, it's really hard to get out because you're just fighting with people within there to establish yourself for the third or fourth position.
No, I would concur with those sentiments that things can change very quickly in CONCACAF, as we've learned many times over in our World Cup qualifying history. This one in particular, and let me just bring it back, because I did want to mention something about Canada that I was really impressed about. And even though we mentioned it in the preview with Wiso, that Canada had something in that Gold Cup semifinal where they just didn't look scared of Mexico. And I think that continued when they went down to Azteca. But usually when you play against Mexico in Mexico City, they have double the passes, total passes. And when you look at the stats between Mexico and Canada, Canada was almost even with Mexico in total passes and almost even in possession. And I actually think that's the most impressive thing, because it's so hard to go down there and get a grip of the game, because Mexico is so good at using the crowd to their advantage, to taking any kind of rhythm and flow out of what you want to do. And the fact that Canada was getting meaningful possession in their half, was attacking with some, we could see it, a real threat, whether it was Alphonso Davies or Jonathan David or whoever else, they were going with that type of commitment. And I think that commitment, that word, that commitment is something that we're seeing from Canada in a way that we haven't seen before, because that commitment is now locked in with belief And commitment and belief with results that are going along with that is a really, really incredible combination, unless they're your opponent. And you're like, God damn it, these guys really believe in themselves, and this is going to be a long one. Now, Canada's got a really important game against Jamaica in this upcoming match. And Jamaica, obviously, they're on the ropes right now. They're playing at home. They lost 3-0 to Panama. I feel like if Canada,
Jimmy, we got to save these thoughts for later on. We're burying the lead, man. We got to get to U.S. Panama.
I want to
get that. But if you give it to me now, I'm not going to get it from you after the break. People got to stay
after the break. Not with the same enthusiasm. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Listen. Let's talk U.S. and then we'll get back to this Canada side, because you and I could talk about this Canada side because it's really impressive. And they're doing well, even though we made fun of John Herdsman back in the summer for calling everything a final, which seems to be working, planting that seed in the mentality of the team, as you mentioned. So this game kicks off 6:05 p.m. Eastern time on Paramount Plus. Pre-game show begins at 5 p.m. Panama versus the U.S. Jimmy, Panama went the entire 2018 cycle without losing at home. And again, I'm not really one for grabbing, you know, something that happened almost 4 years ago into now, but there is still this idea of win your home games. And, you know, that helped them qualify for a World Cup. You get your results at home game. I think they only won 2, drew 3, or maybe 1-3, drew 2, but they were still really solid at home. Do you think that is a mentality that they have as well? I mean, we've obviously saw their vulnerabilities now for the first time, I think, in this qualifying against against El Salvador, but they're playing at home. I mean, what are your initial thoughts on just the home field advantage for this Panamanian side in this match?
Okay, if you start throwing stats at me, I got one for you to counter this. The U.S. is unbeaten in 19 straight games versus CONCACAF teams, which is the second longest streak in team history. They last lost in 2019 against Canada. Now, Greg Berhalter, of his 39 games in charge, 31 of them have been against CONCACAF, only 4 losses, 25 wins, 2 draws, 4 losses. So I don't know. I think Greg Berhalter is doing something all right. I will say, though, with regard to Panama in particular, they are missing a few key players. They've got some injuries. They didn't look good. They play a 4-4-2, and they don't get away from that 4-4-2. But just to if I'm Panama, this is something I'm considering and thinking about. The U.S. have not scored in the first half in 7 consecutive games. And if you can score on them early, I think you put yourself in a very good position to make them suffer in a way that they haven't suffered in quite some time. And that's what I would be trying to emphasize if I'm the coach of Panama. Yeah. We got to get after them early. Now, especially because Anthony Robinson is out. Okay, he came in with a little bit of a knock, but he played 90, didn't get risked. He's going to stay at home. Zach Steffen, well, he got quarantine things too. I don't think he could go either, but he was still nursing a little bit of an injury. Zach Steffen can't go. And I believe Weston McKennie's not going to be traveling either. So those 3 changes, well, Zach Steffen didn't play, but those 2 obviously were Anthony Robinson and McKennie were pretty pivotal. So we'll see what the lineup's going to be. I think he was going to switch up the lineup anyway. I just wonder how many changes he's going to make, because one of the things I did notice against Jamaica, despite us having a very good performance, is that it took us a while to kind of find how we're going to move, not necessarily in a 4-3-3, but getting used to these players in different spaces. Like, is Aronson going to run into McKennie? Can McKennie bomb forward? Okay, if Areola's coming inside, where does Ricardo Pepi supposed to, you know? And so that just had to get worked out. And you can talk about it, right? You can write it on paper. You can show video. You can even walk through it in training. But it's nothing like a game when everything is at 100 miles an hour. So that needed to get worked out. And maybe that's my fear. Maybe that's why we haven't scored early in any of these games, which is a pretty incredible stat that we haven't scored in the first half in our last 7.
Yeah, I think we do have a for lack of a better term, a quality control issue, right? We have now all of this talent and they play in different systems. And we've talked about this as the development of the U.S. of all of these players coming from different backgrounds, different cultural identities, on how if you come out of Germany, you play German football, right? And you might have creativity, but you get
it's foosball.
Yeah, you play Deutsche Fußball, and I think that's already one thing, right? So how FC Dallas's academy is developing players is going to be very different than how New England Revolution and other players like that. And you have these guys going abroad, and then you add that to the fact that now we have these top quality players that are used to their roles and responsibilities are very different. Now I think they're intelligent enough to figure it out, which we're seeing they're doing in the second half. There was some crazy stat that it was like 0 for 11 completed crosses in the first half versus like 7. Or something. I'm butchering the stats for sure, but it was 0, I know, in the first half and then more in the second half. And I think that does play into that. One is settle, you know, trying to find the game, take what the game gives you. trying to understand where the spaces and pockets are, trying to unlock teams, trying to be patient as well. You know, when you know that you have a system that works, but it's not leading to goals, you don't want to dump the system if you see something within all of that. And so, you know, in terms of changes, Jimmy, do you think, I mean, we knew Greg Berhalter was going to make changes, right? He is become our master tinker, and I think rightfully so in some cases, and over tinkering and other times as well. But his greatest tinkering came in the second half for Honduras. But
saved his job, maybe.
Yeah, saved his job, maybe. And I think there's a maturity in that to understand when you need to make some changes. But do you think that that tinkering, do you think he went into this, I guess, three-match window and was like, you know what, second game, we're going to look something like this. We'll see how this first game plays out in terms of points. Or do you think he had it all along saying, this is who we're going to go with, game one, game two, game three? Or is there a mix of both, you think?
Well, knowing Greg like we do, he was definitely, I think, very organized with regard to what he wanted to do, what he wanted to see. And maybe he gave some room, I assume he did, that, hey, if somebody plays very well in the first game, then we'll maybe consider what kind of role they can provide for us in game two, whether it's started game one, but now are really moving into that super sub kind of role for game two, or started game one and we're so good, we can't deny him for game two. And I'm looking at you, Ricardo Pepi. I mean, I find it interesting with regard to Matthew Hoppe, who didn't get off the bench. I could see Greg having a conversation with him prior to this window going, hey, you're going to get your chance to start. And we're going to give it to you probably in Panama. I'll give him the probably. But then when Ricardo Pepi scores two goals, you can't take that guy out. And you subbed him off early. So it's kind of showing your intent that you do want to save his legs so that he can have that. You want to have some consistency in this lineup. We can't have 11 new players. But my fear with Matthew Hoppe, and he's come out and stated it publicly, he doesn't like playing out on the wing. He doesn't think that's where he's at his best. Are we ready to switch into a formation where we have Pepi and Hoppe playing together at the same time up high? Man.
I can't remember last time two strikers played together ever in the planet. You know, it just doesn't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't happen anymore. And Hoppe has shown that I'd love to see it too, but are we prepared, or can we organize enough with everybody else? And I'm sure we can. I mean, these guys are top professionals to figure it out, but are we square peg round hole there because we would just want to get Matthew Hoppe on the field as opposed to kind of putting guys in their best spots? And so it did make me a little bit nervous that because Anthony Robinson's not coming, here we go, Sergiño Dest on the left. I'm like, please, for the love of God, don't put Sergiño Dest on the left. I'd rather have 18-year-old George Bello playing in his best spot as opposed to forcing Dest to play somewhere. And he came off with a knock, so I really don't think we're going to see Dest in this game anyway. Maybe he wasn't going to play in this one. But these are the little things that I'm curious about, because some of the projected lineups I'm seeing around the internet, and there's a lot of people that got projected lineups, there's a lot of changes. We're talking 7-8 changes, and that's a lot from game to game. And I feel like 4 or 5 is makes sense, but you got to put guys in their best spots. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see Tyler Adams playing wing back and Dest on the left. I don't want to see that. I think we want to, I want to be done with that experiment.
I think we're to a point now where, like you said, Jimmy, and I know you've been harping on this since before it even started, which is like, put your players in their best positions to succeed. That will help the team to win. I think now we've gotten the sample size needed after 4 games to know that we should not be going into this Panama game going, I wonder who's best for this match. I wonder who we should be looking at. Because if you look again, the second half against Honduras, that's what I'm trying to tap into. And I'm going back that theme of these players that will know how to go out there and scrap and fight. And once we win the ground game, once we win that fighting game and the game settles in, which you have to go out and win, you have to earn that. That is an actual part of the game that you have to go out and establish dominance over. Then you'll see these players come to life in a different way. And I think that also plays into our second half type of mentality. It's like, we're kind of working through that in the first half of like, oh, we might have to play ugly for a while before we get to play pretty. And that's coming in the second half when things, we take a deep breath, we get into halftime, we realize, okay, where are the spaces? How can we improve this? The other teams were maybe wearing them down a little bit from a fatigue standpoint. But do you think Ricardo Pepi, this is my worry about Ricardo Pepi, by the way, is now he scored. He was on top of the world in the Honduras game. Now he's even more on top of the world. I'm not saying him personally, but the way that we view him. And I think, and I worry about our perception of him as a striker. Largely uninvolved in the first half against Honduras, largely uninvolved in the first half against Jamaica because of the system, because of, I think he showed a presence when he got the ball, his willingness to do things. But I'm saying largely uninvolved in the way that we are judging him, right? Which is a striker and a modern striker that's supposed to be really exciting and do things the way that we look at a Pulisic or a Gio Reyna when they get on the ball and they do really exciting things, or an Mbappe type of player that's stretching teams. He's not that guy. He needs things around him to happen. And if you put him into these good spots, and I do think he'll develop more of these tools, but I worry about us putting pressure on him to do more than what he's doing now, and that's score goals. He will score goals for this national team. I think he'll score goals for this national team for a very long time. But do you think it's an unrealistic pressure now to say that this is our striker, our number nine, home and away, and he's got to find ways to score goals that perhaps the team's not equipped for setting him up for yet?
No, that's a great question. I would say that with regard to Ricardo Pepi, I think you continue to encourage him down the path that he's on. And to your point, not force him to play out of his comfort zone until it's like just drastically needed. The thing what's actually quite awesome about our team is that we can hurt you in a lot of different ways now. We can create numerical advantages out wide, and Dest can be bombing forward on one side, Anthony Robinson on the other. You can have Weston McKennie making late runs. We can hit you on set pieces. We can hit you on the counter with when Pulisic in particular is healthy. We have all these different weapons. Aaronson's obviously been very bright and continues to, I think, impress in a lot of different ways. And then with little things and nuance, and his counter pressing is amazing. So I think Ricardo Pepi is actually in a system that allows him to not have to take these big steps of expectations that he might not be ready for yet, to your point. So I wouldn't push him too hard. Now, I think you can say, hey, listen, let's look at one or two plays here where you could have come back in, maybe helped us, you know, unlock that pressure in midfield, and maybe identifying these little things. Or when the ball goes wide, to your point, our crossing was terrible in the first half. We had 0 for 11 into the box. What do you get? No striker is going to be happy with that. He can't have any impact if we're not like whipping the ball into good spots. I do want to mention though, and it took me, I had to watch it like 6 times to remember, when Paul Areola got in behind Jamaica 30 seconds in, it was Pepi that played that ball through. I always just thought it was like Musa or McKennie or somebody from midfield, but it was actually Pepi that dropped in and played the ball that unlocked that whole play that should have been a red card. So he still was doing a couple things, but I think we just want to see his involvement a little bit more, because outside of that play, I remember watching going, I haven't seen Ricardo Pepi touch it. It was like the 30th minute, you know, where he's not being involved.
I'm cool with that though. At the moment that he's doing, you know, when you talk about his best strength, like no one was asking, and this is, again, this might get me crushed for this, but no one ever asked Wando to come out and find more things to do other than have energy and score goals.
Oh,
right?
I'm sure they do. Just
I'm sure they do. But like, but when you realize what Wando's best at, you're like, dude, I don't want you back here. Now, right, I know that you're going to come back here. I know you're going to track back. You're going to make tackles. You're going to be a great first line.
Wando's out here kicking asses of fans that jump on the field. I'm here for Wando.
Yeah. But in terms of what Wando's best at and what he made his career on, which will get him into some sort of Hall of Fame groups with the amount of goals he scored, one thing. Yeah, is what he does in the box. And I think he's a completely different type of player than Ricardo Pepi. But what I'm saying with Ricardo Pepi is that it's still system-based. I don't think we're trying to integrate our striker into the buildup of all these things. Now, as we get more vertical, if we're lumping the ball forward, things like that, I think that's fine. So, Jimmy, let's talk about your starting 11. Let's discuss that then with regard to the fact that we're on to match day 5. And by the way, I like saying match day 5 more than game 2 of the triple fixture date, because like we were lumping all those together. We were putting too much pressure on these guys. We're taking it one game. Hey, we're on the Greg Berhalter one game at a time thing. This is match day 5. It's isolated from every other match in qualifying. Focusing on this, US is traveling to Panama away. Who do you want and goal, and give me your back line?
Captain Cliche over here, Hollywood Heath Pierce. I'll go with Matt Turner. Matt Turner's going to start in goal. Zach Steffen not going, and Matt Turner's done more than enough to really continue to solidify his position as the number one goalkeeper. I think even Zach Steffen, you know, at some point when you're on the team, you're like, yeah, that guy's playing really well. I get it. I know why I'm on the bench. There's just no way that I could replace or really improve upon how this player is performing. You just have to wait for a potential dip in form or an injury to get back in and prove yourself. And I think that's where Zach Steffen is right now. But he's not traveling, so Matt Turner for sure. As I mentioned before, Anthony Robinson's not coming. I think that's a bit of a big loss for us. So he was pretty pivotal in our last away game against Honduras, scoring early to really set the tone in the second half and leading us into that 4-goal half. Now, George Bello, I want to see. He's got the experience. He's played in some CONCACAF Champions Leagues away from home in particular. He started against Honduras. Didn't go particularly well for him, but I don't think our formation was best suited for what he's capable of, and then started against Mexico in the Gold Cup final as well. He's got the chops. We could argue he's got more CONCACAF experience if you add the CONCACAF Champions League in than Anthony Robinson. So Bello, I think, will be fine. He's still young.
By the way, are you scrapping the back three?
No, I'm going back four. I'm going straight back four. Yeah, I don't think I thought we looked comfortable in the 4-3-3, and I don't want us to change from that just to adjust to an opponent. So I got Bello. I'm going to say Miles Robinson. Him and Matt Turner are the only two players to play every single minute so far through qualifying. I don't think that's going to change.
I was shocked when I read that, by the way. And I for some reason, I just didn't process the fact that, imagine you're Miles Robinson, by the way, and you're like, well, I don't know who's going to play next to me this next coming game.
Like three months ago, you hadn't even really played for the national team.
And then he was getting his start with the Gold Cup, and you're like, yeah, he's got some flashes and stuff. The U.S. isn't playing great, but he's, you know, holding down the back line against pretty weakened opponents. And now he's like, I don't know who I'm going to play with. I got to figure out this next
game.
He's
the guy now.
Yeah. Like who's next to me. And that's actually a lot, like, to have that consistency, I think, is really important, but Greg's gone with a young guy to get that experience. And then next to him, it's up to these other players to prove something.
Right.
And again, like they haven't lost. So I think it's pretty great.
Yeah, no, I think it's great too. He also, as a former number 12 center back for the U.S., I'm very proud to see another number 12 dominating out there. So
8-0-2, Jimmy, by the way. Dez just threw this up on the screen. The U.S. has gone 8-0-2 with Matt Turner and Miles Robinson on the field. Well, and by the way, to follow up on that quick stat, the U.S. is unbeaten in 14 straight competitive games, Jimmy.
I know.
14 straight competitive games. That's pretty wild. Now, again, it just so happens that those competitive games went from, you know, Nations League to Gold Cup to this, but there's still something to be said to what you've been talking about a lot with regard to all this, which is they know how to get results. They know how to stay in games. They know how to not lose. And I think there's something really powerful in that. And we're seeing that now in the form of statistics, not just individual games. Sorry.
Yeah. No worries. I was just going to, you know, actually throw you another easy cliche. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? And with Miles Robinson and Matt Turner, there's no reason to bring him out of the team right now. I would actually roll with Mark McKenzie next to him. They obviously have that experience in Honduras. I think there is some rapport there in tough situations away from home. Zimmerman, I thought, was fantastic against Jamaica. He won every single one of his aerial duels. I think he had more I don't know what the name of the stat is, but more takeaways than any other player.
He won all of his aerial duels. Every one that he went up for
against Shamar Nicholson, who's 6'4". So, I mean, fair play to Walker Zimmerman. And I just thought he was solid. You could potentially roll him out again, but I do think that there was probably some decisions to be made. Like, if Zimmerman starts here, we're going to give McKenzie the next one. And because they have that experience in Honduras, I think you roll with that. And then I go with Yedlin. Yedlin also came in on the second half against Honduras. You give Des that rest. Yedlin has more CONCACAF qualifying experience than any other player out on the field. And I think that it's a lot of changes to a back line, but because these players have played together already and have some experience and rapport. And also, I did want to mention, just for everybody to think about, and I thought about it while you were talking a little bit earlier, Heath, one of the mistakes that I think Bruce Arena did make the last World Cup qualifying phase is after we beat, was it Panama 4-0 in Orlando, and then we went down to Trinidad to get that result, he rolled out the same team. And I remember looking at the bench going, man, if you just would have given certain of those players, not all of them, you'd have to change everybody. But if you would have made four or five changes and gave those other players that were a little bit hungrier to go out and get a result, I bet you we would have qualified for the 2018 World Cup. Now, there's a lot of what ifs there. And obviously, you know, it's hindsight to be a Monday morning quarterback. But I feel like maybe Greg is tapping into that a little bit because we have the options and because now he's given a lot of experience to a lot of different players. So that's a lot of changes to the back line, but that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I agree with you on that back line. And the only thing that I would say is I'm looking at DeAndre Yedlin in the eyes before the game, and I'm saying, hey, man, pick and choose your moments to go forward.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
are a defender first. You're playing away from home. Remember that.
Right. You're our oldest guy. Lead by making good decisions on the ball.
Yeah.
You know, don't be the one that's out there making the most mistakes, because then everybody's like, all right, DeAndre's not doing his job.
And then when I look at Mark McKenzie I'm blanking on
Miles Robinson.
Walker Zimmerman. Sorry. When I'm looking at those two, what I like about both of them, either of them for this game, and it's the same with Robinson, is that there is a simplicity to their game that they have shown that makes the game more predictable. Jimmy, you've played on teams before where you're missing some of your key players in the buildup or your quality or your technical players. And you're forced to play different, right?
You
know that, okay, I'm Jimmy Conrad. I'm going to play the square ball to a different center back who's not comfortable driving the ball up the field. They're
That's
not
true.
Comfortable with the long diagonal. So now we got to play differently, right? And now you got to find a way to make that person better. So maybe they're laying that ball back to you, or the press or the buildup starts going a different direction. And I think that predictability and that willingness to play simple forces this team to force Greg Sand over time to go, oh yeah, we're not going to play through everybody. We're not going to play out. You know, if you, again, I go back to the second half against Honduras, and all Mark McKenzie did was scrap, win duels, kick the ball up into the stands, get back into position and do it over and over again to see out that win. Now, granted, when you're scoring that many goals, it simplifies what your role in the team is. And I think the same thing with Zimmerman. It's just winning those duels, those kind of those sub battles of the game, which establishes a different level. So I like that. Let's give me your midfield and
I'll give you a front six, baby. Let's go to the front six. So we did our back line and goalkeeper. This is a tough one because I feel like Tyler Adams is the type of player that wants to be involved in every single minute. He is captain material. He's not going to want to miss this. However, if you do want to give him a rest and make sure he's sharp for Costa Rica, and Costa Rica, despite not scoring goals, not giving up a lot either. So they're going to be, I think, difficult to get a result against at home. And knowing that, you know, you want to make sure everybody's fresh and not tired. Like we talked about with El Salvador, who rolled out the same guys for three consecutive games in qualifying window one and looked very tired against Canada on the last one. So maybe Acosta here. I'd almost prefer to see Adams, but Acosta's been such a loyal servant to the country, and he does the job. So I think you could put Acosta here. And then it becomes a little bit, do you go with Legette? Moose is available. I would love to see Musa continue to roll out and play, but I don't know how many changes you want to make. So this is a tough one. I don't like when Acosta and Adams are on the field at the same time. I'll raise my hand and say, I think they duplicate each other. So it's either one or the other for there. And then is it Bustillo? We saw De La Torre actually come off the bench against Jamaica. So I don't even know. I think it's going to be some combination of Bustillo or De La Torre. And I think it's going to be probably Legette at this point. And then I could see him throwing out Acosta. But if Adams was there, I'd be totally cool with that because I like having that consistency in the spine of your team. But Acosta has experience with all these players too.
Yep.
Then I go with Aaronson and Pepe. We knew that was coming because they both got subbed out pretty early. And then I don't think you go with Areola again. I think he did his job. I think he went out there to run and be a pest, and is exactly what he did. And he did it to the highest level. And he created space, especially on that first goal for us. We kind of got out of the way so Musa and Weah could kind of dominate that channel and end up getting that cross and having the space to do so. So there's little things that I like about Areola's game. But I'd almost considered Christian Roldan. He scored, I saw a crazy stat with him. He scored in four straight games for the Sounders, three in MLS and then the League's Cup final. He had two goals in 21 games prior to that, and he's on fire right now. So maybe you lean into that with Roldan, who's got experience. He's crafty. He knows how to create space. And you let those guys maybe chip away at Panama for the first 60 minutes, and then you bring on a Weah, and then you bring on a fresh Matthew Hoppe, and then you just go and just kind of crush them, because we've proven we are a bit of a second-half team. So just let some guys grind out the first half, and then we can bring it on. And similar to what we did in Honduras, and just when the game opens up, when they're tired, we go and smash it and get all 3 points.
No, I think you covered that well. The only other option that I would go with potentially is starting Matthew Hoppe instead of Roldan. I think it would have made me a little nervous having Brendan Aaronson, the old Brendan Aaronson, but he continues to get better and show that in these big moments, he's becoming a more intelligent player, knowing how to keep the ball, win the ball for the team. But that energy between the two of them, I think, could create some of that, again, verticality that we need. And when I look at how El Salvador was successful, that willingness to just attack with numbers, with pace, bring attacks to a conclusion, there's a real value to that. Jimmy, give me your closing thoughts on this game before we take a quick break.
Well, like I said before, I was happy with 7 points this particular window. That would be getting the two wins at home, getting a draw away. I'd still take the draw away at this point. You're not allowing Panama to gain any ground on you. And as long as you win your home games and get draws away from home, you're easily going to qualify for the World Cup. I don't think we should deviate from that. And if we get a draw, great. Way to go, boys. Good professional performance. No problem. Let's go home and get all three against Costa Rica. If we get the win, I think it's a cherry on top. And I don't want my expectations of what it looked like against Honduras in the second half to kind of cloud what I think we might see here. But we're going to see a lot of changes. And as we mentioned, Greg Berhalter, whether you love him or hate him, is definitely pushing the right buttons for the squad right now. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, I agree. And I want everybody to know, by the way, when you go into those games, you never prepare for a draw. You never play for a draw.
No,
the players
aren't
playing for a draw. You prepare a game plan that says, at a minimum, control what we can control, right? And you go into that game at a point. You go into the game at a draw. And if you can hold a clean sheet, if you can fight, if you can stay alive, you do that and hope you can get 3 points. But at a minimum, you control that draw side of things. But listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the remaining matches on this match day 5. If you're listening to this on audio, we'll be right back. If you're watching this on YouTube, stay right with us.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, everyone, we are back. Jimmy, let's talk about Jamaica, Canada. I couldn't wait. I was distracted earlier. I was afraid you were going to give me all the gold off the top. And I wanted our faithful fans to have to just like wait a little bit longer. Give them the good stuff first, and then we're going to give them the good stuff second.
So I want to start off by saying that Canada got an away point versus Mexico for the first time, or for the third time ever, but for the first time since 1980. And I can't say enough about this Canadian team. As I mentioned before, about their commitment and belief, they also have the talent to go along with it. And when they get the results, the confidence is going to grow and grow. And you were talking about Brendan Aaronson there, about getting more comfortable and all that. Every time I watch Brendan Aaronson play, he seems to be more and more confident in who he is and that he deserves to play for the national team and be an important player for us. And that's so vital in terms of us having success as a group when you have enough players that are feeling that way about themselves and where they fit in. And that really speaks to the culture. With that, I think John Herdsman has put in place with Canada. Conversely, with Jamaica, they're just all over the place. They didn't really look all that threatening. And when they do, they look a little disjointed. It feels very individualistic in terms of how they're going to create their opportunities. There's not a lot of combination play. It's like, let's put it in a good area and hope we get a second ball or something falls our way or whip it in the box. They're always going to be decent on set pieces, but I worry about Jamaica a little bit. And if they lose this game at home, I think they're done. And for me, if Canada really wants to put their flag in the ground going, we are qualifying for this World Cup, we don't hope, we are, they got to go down and get all 3 points here. Because it almost feels like if they lose to Jamaica away, it's not that they wasted that 1 point against Mexico. That was still valuable because Mexico couldn't gain on any ground on them either. But it does feel like, oh, what did we just do against Mexico if we lost to this Jamaica team? So I feel like Canada's going to go at them. I don't think they're going to let up. I think you're going to see their best lineup. And I think this is going to be a Canada win, frankly.
Yeah, I agree with that in terms of 3 points for Canada. They've just got too many ways in which they can play now, right? We saw when Canada is disciplined and willing to fight. And again, I go back to that stupid stereotype of everyone in the summer making fun of the coach for saying we're playing it like a cup final or a we're playing it like a tournament final for every game in the Gold Cup. And there was just the mentality that I think they built into this team with a depleted roster and these different guys. And we saw when they played their first game against Honduras, they thought they were a little bit better than they were in terms of their need to fight for space on the field, right? They had a bunch of big players and they seemed to sort of think that they could just play through everything because they have the quality to do so.
Right.
But then I think they got a little bit of a gut punch that told them like, hey, no, again, similar to the U.S., you got all the quality in the world. You got all the quality to qualify, but your mentality has to be first. And I think they were quick to figure that out and saying, we got to scrap and fight and we got to be disciplined. And then the rest will happen. And they have the ability to build up. Like you said, possession against Mexico, they have the ability to connect passes together through their midfield and break down lines and through possession. But they also have the ability to spring forward quickly and hit you with a 1-2 punch that has them now in front of goal creating chances with Jonathan David, with Alphonso Davies, you know, with Tejan Buchanan. I mean, yeah, those are three of what I think would be a top 10 players in CONCACAF now in your front line attacking, running at you. And you know, of course, all those players don't want to just sit in a counterattack system all day long, but it just shows you the versatility and the ways in which they can beat you. Makes it harder to prepare against, right? You sit back deep and they could probably break you down. You press them high and they can play more direct. And I think that's hard to stop. And if you're Jamaica, it's just about neutralizing, again, that speed and transition that they do have. And, you know, with the side that Jamaica just looks a little bit defeated, a little bit confused,
a little bit
like kind of like we almost had a great team here. If some circumstances were different, COVID, right. I think is the number one factor.
No fans either in this one. They're not allowed to have fans in this one. So it's going to be difficult. I'll just jump in and say what I also enjoy about Canada. And we've seen it before. We played against them before, Heath. They were always tough to break down, but you knew at some point there was going to be something that you could poke a hole in, right? They were vulnerable in some area. And could they manage that stout defensive posture for 90 minutes? And we knew back in the day that they couldn't, that at some point there was going to be a breakdown and we have to exploit that breakdown. And once you score or get a good opportunity, you could see them start to doubt themselves. And then we would gain confidence in that. And then we'd end up winning 1-0, 2-0, whatever it is. This Canada team defensively are so good. And they fight and they scrap in a way that maybe I haven't seen them do consistently. We've seen it in game, right? For 45 minutes, 50 minutes. But for like 90 minutes, these guys are a pain in the ass to play against. And Mexico just learned that the hard way. This most one. We learned it the hard way in the first qualifying window. So there's a lot of elements on both sides of the ball that I really like about this Canadian team. I said they were going to qualify, before this whole thing started. And I think I haven't changed my mind by any stretch. In fact, I've just gained more confidence in that prediction.
I like that. Let's move on to Costa Rica versus El Salvador. Obviously, let's look at Costa Rica through the lens of the U.S. men's national team, knowing that we play them on match day 6, the third of three games in this window. They're playing at home against El Salvador, who just got their first win. Again, weren't registering a whole lot previously to that. And now El Salvador have found themselves in the mix on pure fight alone. They're playing against the Costa Rica side who, you know, Costa Rica will always be Costa Rica in my mind. Maybe I look through them through the lens of which we played against Costa Rica and the challenges that they have. I mean, do you expect 3 points from them in this one against El Salvador?
For me, Costa Rica at home, they missed a big opportunity not beating this Jamaica team in the last qualifying window. That could come back to bite them as we start to get really tight here towards the end and we're trying to compile points. They could look back on that match day going, how do we even allow that to happen? This is another one. El Salvador, the only team so far in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying to have 3 clean sheets over the first 4 games. So you have to take that into consideration. They're hard to play against. Costa Rica, though, only 1 goal scored in their last 6. So I got 0-0 written all over this one. I don't think it's going any other way. This is like 0-0. And I fear with Costa Rica, maybe their coach can see it too, Luis Suarez, not that Luis Suarez, though I wish it was that Luis Suarez who's flying back and forth to coach Costa Rica in qualifying. But I get the sense that they commit too many numbers forward. They know they're going to get exposed going the other way. And they just are so pragmatic about how they approach and how they move as a group. It just gets a little stifled and they get a little predictable on offense. El Salvador, I think, does have a little something. They got a little sauce, El Salvador, that I really appreciate and enjoy. So they could go in there and potentially steal the points, but I got a 0-0 here. I just, based on the stats that we're seeing, based on how both teams are performing, given that Costa Rica went to Honduras and got a 0-0, like they're built to get 0-0s. They might be the Porto, the Champions League, or even Chelsea, that's got a 0-0, 1-0 their way into qualifying for the World Cup. They got some work to do, but if they can't score goals, ultimately that's going to come back to bite them. I could see a draw here because I have a lot more respect for El Salvador than maybe more people should have more respect for them because they're a good team.
They are a good team and they are difficult to play against. I don't know the longevity of that over all of this, but I do think a point certainly helps the U.S. and start to create more of that gap, right? Because you don't want Costa Rica to find their form and be able to track their way back in. And I also like our odds against an El Salvador side in terms of leaving them from that middle pack when you're thinking about through the lens of the U.S. and trying to separate, right? You want to get the 1 and 2 to run away within CONCACAF. Maybe even the front three, when you're talking about playing 14 games now, that might be a huge challenge with Canada and the way that they're playing as well. So let's move on, Jimmy, to Mexico contra Honduras.
Yes.
The Catrachos. Another team that I was really impressed with the start, and then they just haven't gotten the points to show some of the quality when I looked at the way that they played against Canada, as I mentioned before. Now playing away to Mexico. Mexico getting two home games in a row. What's your take on this one?
So Honduras, again, we talked about it in the preview. Through the first three games, they were very good for the two and a half of them. Got a 1-1 draw against Canada, then a 0-0, and then you know, they lost to us. But they were up 1-0 at halftime, so they were good. And against Costa Rica in their first match of this qualifying window, match day four, is that you want to call it, they had 67% possession versus Costa Rica. They outshot the Ticos 25-4. They had expected goals as 1.8 to Costa Rica's 0.2, which speaks to why I'm going 0-0 with that other game. And this Honduras team, you can't sleep on them. And Mexico has to know that. Now, I feel like Tata Martino and his coaching staff and the players are under a huge amount of pressure. They went up 1-0 on Canada. And usually when you have a lead in Azteca, they don't relinquish it. No, they did give up a goal against Jamaica in the first match day that they had to come back and score in the 89th minute. So there is some vulnerability in this Mexican team that maybe we haven't seen. Well, it continues to happen to them in some ways. I thought Hector Moreno was going to start. I think he's going to come back into this one. I think they need him. His presence is just a little bit different in that back line. When he's not there, I think you can tell. And outside of that, though, I like Mexico. They're still a good team. They're going to qualify for this World Cup. I just don't think it's going to be as aesthetically pleasing as Mexican fans want, where they're cruising, they're number one the whole time. It's just not that easy, right? This is CONCACAF. Chaos is what we expect and what we get, and it's not going to be easy for anyone. And ultimately, that's going to make you a better team as you head into the World Cup anyway. So hopefully Mexican fans can chill out. I like Tata Martino, and if you fired him, I don't know who you'd bring in at this point. So you have to take that into consideration, too. But you know, if he loses this game, I don't know if he'd get fired, but man, he would be really close to getting fired.
I mean, they're second place. I know it's U.S. versus Mexico ultimately with the job of Tata Martino, but like, lose this game, you still might be in second place. And like, you're technically in first on goal difference. So I think, again, it's all a game of moments right now, and there's plenty of games to play. And I think this squad, but they do look vulnerable, Jimmy, and I agree with you. Let's go through real quick and give our score predictions. I know that you've given them along the way, but starting with Panama versus U.S., which, by the way, again, is 6:05 p.m. Eastern time on Paramount Plus. What's your score prediction for this one, Jimmy?
Yeah, my heart says 2-1 U.S. My brain says 1-1. 0-0 in the Costa Rica game. And I think Mexico has to win this one, which means they probably won't. I'll say 1-1 there. And then I think Canada beats Jamaica 2-0.
Yep. Okay. And yeah, Jamaica versus Canada, 6:05 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus. Costa Rica, El Salvador, also 6:05 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus. Mexico versus Honduras, just a little bit later, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Paramount Plus. Thank you so much, Jimmy Conrad. And guys, remember, sorry, I'm running out of, I haven't drank enough water. We're doing this
clearly
in the morning.
Hydration's key.
Yeah, hydration is key, especially when you're playing in away CONCACAF qualifier in Central America, which I don't have to do. I'm literally living at sea level. I should be fine. But don't forget to tune in to the K Golasso podcast YouTube channel the K Golasso YouTube channel on Sunday night for our live recap of Panama versus U.S. and the rest of the match day CONCACAF's World Cup qualifiers, whether it's a celebration or a venting session. We want you to be part of the conversation. Hit us up in the comment section with your questions, takes, bright ideas. You can yell at Jimmy. You can yell at me. Were great the last time around. It makes the conversation so much better than Jimmy and I just yelling back and forth at each other. You bring some really great insight. Some of it is some of you just love to stir the pot, which we are here for. So if you have a question for us, then head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. Send us your question, and we'll try to get that onto the next pod. As a reminder, Jimmy and I will be with you in the post-game recap, in audio form, and the live recap on YouTube. And until then, we are sounding off.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.